Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Larry. What a joy to be in the house of God. We do have some precious memories of over the years, and as Larry was sharing about the tent meetings those years back, he referred to neither one of us having glasses. Yeah, that's probably true. I think I still had some black hair too. But my hair color has changed, but at least I have hair. And but I thought I'd say that before Larry comes back in. No. What a great blessing and honor in working together over the years. And it is really good to be back here again. We have over the years come back to Ontario off and on, but for some reason it's usually when it's really, really cold, but not so this time around. We are really enjoying this weather. It feels a lot like North Carolina. But speaking of weather, some of you have already been asking about Hurricane Florence and how that is affecting us. It is affecting us. To a certain extent, we are, of course, on the west end of the state, so we're away from the coast. Thankfully, we are not getting near what they have out on the coast. However, this morning, our church hotline went and said because of a number of the Sunday school teachers having either power outage and or trees on their house, Sunday school was canceled and church starting at 10 o'clock. So I called my co-workers and our house parent there and said, hey, if you get a chance to run by our house, just make sure everything's okay and the house isn't flooded and there's no tree on the roof or whatever. So I got a response back after a while saying everything is okay. Thank God for his protection there. We are getting a substantial amount of rain, not so much the high winds in our area, but the brother I was talking to said his rain gauge was overflowing, which it holds 5 inches. I think you can interpret that, centimeters here. But a lot of rain, and it's still raining. And that was all since yesterday. But hopefully by tomorrow, things will be cleared out again. But continue to pray, especially for those along the coast who are affected by this much more than we are. It is an honor to have the family. These meetings are part of about a 2.5-week tour for us. We began last weekend in Holmes County, Ohio, and then worked our way up through Pennsylvania, New York, and then here and going back to Lancaster this coming weekend for some functions there. But tonight, Lord willing, we'll do more of an official introduction. We are planning to share maybe a few songs tonight, and then also tomorrow night, maybe a children's class. So children, bring your parents, and your pastor actually told me to tell you that. No, I was going to announce it anyway. But yeah, tomorrow evening, Lord willing, we'll share in a children's class before the message, and then we'll see what the rest of the evenings hold. I do want to, before we really get into the message, you know, and I'm not one that comes with everything planned out. I usually say, Lord, give me the first message, and then we'll see what happens from there. And I also, I don't keep specific track of, okay, I'm trying to think when the last time was that we were here for meetings. It was since, I think, the very first time was out in the little church building in the country somewhere in Ontario. I don't know where it was in, of course, in this area, but my wife was asking me yesterday as we pulled in here, where was that little country church? I said, I would have no geographical sense of where that was, but you probably do. But I think we were back here since, maybe one time since then. I don't remember what year. Or anything like that. I do remember this, though. I remember God giving me a revelation parked right behind the church where we're parked now about a principle that we were learning as a family. And one morning I was sitting there reading the Word, and God gave me a revelation. I won't tell you what it was. I don't know if I'll share it here this week or not. I'll at least wait to share it with you until I know if the Lord is going to have me share a message like that. But before, and so I don't remember what all I shared even in the onset of meetings or message content maybe in the past, but I do want to say this before we get into the message. And this morning, as we begin the meetings, I've going from place to place over the years. You know, you learn different things in different places, and then you know God is doing things in your own life. God is doing ministry in your own life. He is changing you. He's changing all of us from glory to glory. And so you learn this, and you're constantly learning. I've not learned at all. I'm still learning. I'm still in training. And God continues to teach us, train us, develop us, mature us, and change us from glory to glory. And that's really His specialty. He does that for His glory and for our own benefit. But I do want to say on the onset here this morning, as we look at revival meetings. I'm not sure what you're calling this specifically, revival meetings, renewal meetings, or meetings, or whatever it may be. You know, there's different speakers do it different ways. Maybe some meetings are more teaching, others are more evangelistic, others are more whatever you want to call it. So you have these different scenarios, and it's not that one is right and the other is wrong, or one is better than the other. It's none of that at all. But I like to be, you'll learn throughout this week, I like to just be straight up front. I don't like to beat around the bush and like, okay, what is he saying? Where is he going with this? I like to just put it out there and not beat around the bush and not be behind, you know, just like, I like to just be blunt. And one of those things that I want to share in the onset is when it comes to revival meetings or renewal meetings, and one of the things that I will often do probably at every service, unless the Lord would lead me differently, it does happen sometimes where I don't give an invitation, but most of the time in these meetings there will be an invitation given. There'll be an altar call given. We have all, in our background, have had different experiences when it comes to altar calls. Me growing up as an Old Order Amish boy, I had never, when I got saved, I had never heard of revival meetings. I had never heard of tent meetings. I had never heard of altar calls, invitations. I didn't know what that was. I didn't know, what is that? What is an altar call? What is an invitation? I didn't know what that was. When I say that, I do not say it in a negative way toward my background. I appreciate my heritage immensely. And I'm only saying that in those circles, that is not part of services, it's not practice, it's not how they do it. And so I didn't know what that was. Before I was saved, one of my first altar call experiences, and I want to just share a few experiences, and then also all of us have had different experiences when it comes to altar calls. I'm finding as we go from place to place that a lot of our Anabaptist people have had very negative experiences when it comes to altar calls and invitations. Very negative. In fact, a lot of our people in the settings where altar calls were given, it was always like a negative thing or a condemning thing or whatever the case may be. It was not a positive experience for a lot of our Anabaptist people. And I want to speak into that for just a moment. For me, one of the first invitations, I was at a service on a Sunday morning. My girlfriend and I, we weren't married yet, which she is now my wife. It's before we were married, and we were not saved yet. We were not in right standing with God, had never made a commitment to receive Christ into our heart. We were at a service on a Sunday morning much like this, and that preacher was up there, and he was He was fired up. I don't remember one word he preached. I don't remember the title of the sermon. I don't remember anything about what he preached. I just know my heart was up here, like almost to the point of, I mean, conviction was so heavy, it was like almost jumping out, like you were concerned that somebody would see your shirt doing this, you know, that's the condition I was. He had everybody stand, and then he opens the altar. He says, now, if God has spoken to your heart, he opened the altar. I mean, I didn't know what to do with this. The only thing I knew about altar calls is you don't go there. That's what I knew about it. You don't go up front because that is putting on a show. It's a proudful thing. My girlfriend and I, we were sitting about three rows back, and I stood there. When we stood, I grabbed that bench, and my favorite hymn that morning was, I shall not be moved. I mean, taken out of context, of course, you know. And my girlfriend she nudged me. She was on the inside of me, and there was a lot more people on that side of us than here. We were about two or three people in. She nudged me and wanted to get out, and I'll be honest with you. I did not let her out. I was hard, stiff. That's not the way we do things. Well, you can give your life to Christ without going to an altar. We understand that. But conviction was setting in, and that was my experience with altar. You've had yours. I've had other experience. And I found out later that the altar is such a friendly place. It's not a place to be scared of. It's not the only place you can meet God, but it's a place you can meet God. It's a place where the Holy Spirit can minister life and peace to our heart. It's not the only place, but it's a place. The altar is a friendly place. I found that later in life after I gave my life to Christ. The altar is not a scary place. It's a refreshing place. It's a place where I love to go to. Yes, it's not a scary place. Others have had their experiences. I remember a young married lady. We had a week of meetings in a community building. Sunday mornings we were went to their church building. And felt led to just open up for testimony time. And this young married, she was probably, I don't know, in her lower 30s at the time, young married lady, which now is actually a pastor's wife. But at that point, her husband was not ordained. But she gets up in front of her congregation. She gets the hymn book out. And I don't know if it's in here. I should have maybe checked it. But the song, Just As I Am Without One Plea. You know, we know verse 1 by heart. We know verse 2 by heart. Verse 3 we know pretty well. Verse 4 we probably not so much. That song actually have, if I'm not mistaken, at least 5 or 6 verses to the whole song. Verse 5 and verse 6 we probably couldn't, at least I couldn't, sing it by heart. Because we usually sing verse 1 or verse 2 or whatever. Well, apparently, that week, we sang that song off and on during invitation time. Her testimony was this. Now, I'll also add this. She was actually a preacher's daughter. Her dad was a pastor. So her growing up, her experience in life, now she's young married in her low 30s, her testimony to the congregation was this. Every time she heard the song, Just As I Am Without One Plea, up until that week, every time she had heard that song sung, she felt condemnation come all over her. That was her testimony. That was her experience. Until that week, that morning, her testimony was, the first time I ever heard that song sung, that I did not feel condemnation. I felt free and drawn by the Holy Spirit to walk to the altar. That was her testimony. As a declaration into the spirit world, she opened the hymn book and beautifully sang all of the verses by herself. No more condemnation when I hear that song. That was her story. I have mine, you have yours. What has been my experience when it comes to altar calls? And then a man in the Midwest, I remember some years ago, again on us after a week or however long, and opened up for testimonies. He was in his 60s probably. And he gets up in front of his congregation. He says, the first week, or the first time I ever sat through a series of meetings where I felt free to walk to an altar without having the fear of what other people are thinking of me. Why is he going up there? You know, somehow a lot of us grew up with the idea that when we respond to an altar, there's some gross sin in our life. There's some you know, we're, and it could be, But the altar is much more than just that. I mean, if there is gross sin in our life and the Holy Spirit is working, when it is the Spirit of God, he will draw us to the altar. He will not condemn us. That's the difference between religion and life in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not want anyone to live in gross sin. That's why Jesus the Son gave his life. And so in order to get rid of that, there's a drawing that the Holy Spirit brings, and he wants us to be free in him. That's why he draws us. Sin condemns us. The Holy Spirit draws us. My heart is this. I'm telling you all this to say this. This altar is a friendly place, and I do not ask anybody to come to this altar unless the Holy Spirit is drawing you. Unless the Holy Spirit draws us. If the Holy Spirit is not drawing you, you know what that does? It takes all the pressure off of me. Back in the early 2000s, I think it was about 2003, one day when my wife and I were at a conference workshop, and the topic was preaching the message. It was a whole room full of evangelists. The lecture was preaching the message and giving the invitation. One of the questions that was, and that was early on in ministry, and I found myself, you know, giving invitations and being afraid nobody would respond, and that's where I was walking at the time. And then this instructor, he said, why are most of you, he pointed to, there's probably several hundred of us, why are most of you afraid to give an invitation? And of course, my ears went up, and I was like, well, I know why I'm afraid, because I'm afraid nobody's going to respond. But I didn't say it. But that was his answer. The reason you don't give invitations, or the reason we're afraid, is because what if nobody responds? It doesn't make the preacher look very good, right? Man, I sat there and conviction started setting in. And, you know, I didn't feel condemned. I felt drawn. I felt like, yes, Lord, I hear you. I hear you. You know what happened in my heart that day? I said, Lord, I see it. I was using persuasive things and just to try to get people to come forward, because if nobody responds, it wouldn't make me look very good. That day, God, by his Spirit and through his grace and his mercy, I repented and God forgave me. I said, no more. I said, it's not about me. This instructor reminded us of one of the first things he said, let me remind you, it is not your altar call, it's God's. I said, yes, Lord, I hear you. I am releasing that thing. I will have no control over those altar calls. I repented that day, and I'll say this to the glory of God. I'll declare it in the spirit world that from that day forth, I don't remember ever giving an invitation. I've given many since then. I don't remember ever giving an invitation and being fearful in my heart that nobody's going to respond. And there's been times when nobody responded. But I'm okay with that. I'm totally free from that. If I know without a shadow of a doubt, I have preached the word. That's why I say only if the Holy Spirit draws you. What I've seen is releasing that thing. If I know I have preached the word in its entirety, in sincerity, and I know without error I have preached what God has laid on my, the results are up to him. And if you sense the conviction and the drawing of the Holy Spirit and you don't come, that's between you and God, not between you and me. There is a freedom. Yes. So if nobody comes to the altar, I should be able to leave this place rejoicing in my heart, knowing I have obeyed the Holy Spirit and preached what he's laid on my heart. Or if 20 people come, it should not make a difference in my heart. That's how freeing this is. It's not about me. It's not about you. But it is about us, all of us, hearing the voice of God and then obeying His Spirit. That's what it's about. The altar is a friendly place. Last but not least, also, I see a lot of children here this morning. Parents, never underestimate what a young child will understand when it comes to the preaching of the Word. We've seen it many, many times. Young children giving their life to Christ. Parents leading their children to Christ. Sometimes testimonies of after they get home and the Lord was drawing a young child, they would come to the parents' bedroom and say, "Daddy, I need to pray to receive Christ into my heart." Beautiful things that have happened. Amen. All right. Well, genug von sel. How many of you understood that? Oh, so it's in so viel Lehr, dass Dad schwätze kenne. Okay, weil ich bewirr net Dad spreche, aber net. Anyway, God bless you so much. Are you ready for my, am I coming through my PowerPoint? Let's see, there it is. Okay. Hosting the presence of God. I want to begin there. Turn to Isaiah 19, if you will. As we open these meetings, as I was praying and discerning where to go, how to start, how to begin. Oh, I love that sound right there. I love that sound of the pages of the Bible. I love to hear that. I love to hear that. Hosting the presence of God. And the subject this morning is that plus centered around revival. How does revival happen? How doesn't it happen? But here, this verse has been one of those verses that have so encouraged, challenged, blessed my heart over these last, especially the last year or two, in what I've seen happen in the lives of people, in my own life. The burden, verse 1, Isaiah 19, verse 1. The burden of Egypt. Behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud and shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. Let me read it again. The burden of Egypt, behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud and shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. Now, in conjunction with that, another verse in Psalm 16, verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore, Psalm 16, verse 11. As we focus on revival and the presence of God, they go hand in hand. How does revival happen? How does it happen? How does it look? Well, according to Isaiah 19, verse 1, the burden of Egypt, behold, the Lord rides upon a swift cloud, shall come into Egypt. The idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence. What is Egypt a type of? When we hear the word Egypt, when we hear this type of, what is Egypt a type of? I so appreciated the Sunday school lesson, Mr. Gerber, and about the word and how, man, he had us, I got bits and pieces of it. He had us thinking. But as we look at Egypt, what is Egypt a type of? Is it not a type of bondage, a type of sin? So how is that dealt with? How are these bondages? You wish you could go to any church and you wouldn't have to talk about bondages, but there are many in the church today who are in bondage, not in freedom and liberty in the Spirit of Christ. How are the bondages? How are we free in the presence of the Lord? The idols of Egypt are removed. Not because Larry is the pastor. It's not because Dave is preaching. It's not because Gary is a deacon. It's when we host the presence of God. That is when I've seen it happen over and over again. What happens when you host someone? Yesterday, when we arrived here, There were different ones who came and welcomed us. And then there were vehicles brought for us to use to drive around while we're here. So there was a welcome. There was a hosting. Then my wife came from the kitchen back out to the bus. She said, "Family, we have food to eat for 3 weeks." Like, what a blessing. You are hosting us. It made us feel welcome. It made us feel wanted here. That's hosting. That is like provide. That is like setting up an atmosphere that makes us feel welcome. That's what happens when we host the presence of God. My heart's prayer, my heart's cry, where we cultivate an atmosphere here where God wants to be here. He wants to show up. He is showing up because He's in us. If you're born again, He's in us. So how is His presence released here if He's in us? How does it happen? How does it happen? In the presence of the Lord, the idols of Egypt are removed. We want to cultivate an atmosphere that God is welcome, that He doesn't want to stay away. Why do we need revival? You know, revival is not evangelism. Revival is not for the unsaved. You know, an unsaved person cannot be revived. Because an unsaved person has not yet begun. So an unsaved person cannot be revived. You know what? Revival, let's see, do I have it? Yeah, the word revival, to make fresh and strong again. That means at one time it was that way. Do you remember when you got saved? Remember when you got saved? Yeah, remember when you got saved? Now, it's maybe different for all of us. Our children, their testimony, when they all gave their life to Christ at a very young age. So they were spared from a lot of stuff that I got into, that my wife and I got into, because I was 22 when I got saved. And so I wasted all my teenage years to the ungodly things of the world. So when I got saved, it was different in a sense than when they got saved, as far as a complete transformation. However, they were just as lost as I was, even though their experience was different. So when they gave their life to Christ, there was now the Holy Spirit moved in. It wasn't as dramatic of a change as when I gave my life to Christ. Understand? So we all have a different testimony. However, when you gave your life to Christ, before that, the Holy Spirit was not in you, right? So now the Holy Spirit is within us. So there is excitement, there's new life, there's revelation coming from the Word that was not there before. For me, it was exciting, it was different. Never experienced that before. So that was in May of 1991, just over 27 years ago. So now today, is it as fresh and strong as it was then? Am I as zealous and what's the word? I'm fishing for a word. Excited, exuberant, zealous, and passionate. That's the word I want. Am I as passionate as I was when I first came, when everything was new? How is it? That's why we need revival, to make fresh and strong again. So an unsaved person, if you're here this morning, you're not saved, not born again, you can't really be revived, but you can be saved. That's why the church needs revival. Revival is for the church, even though revival is not evangelism, but it will lead to evangelism when the church gets revived. Remember when I was first a Christian, I was working with a man that I looked up to as a well-seasoned Christian. So I was new in the Lord. I didn't know how to be a Christian. I just like, Lord, I'm yours. I didn't know. I just did what I sensed God leading me to do. So I would share Jesus with people, and I would just be, you know, it was at that moment where when I was first saved, we started attending a Mennonite church. And we would sing a song like we sung this morning, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I remember sitting in church, and I'm exposing my ignorance. I remember sitting at church singing that song and other songs like My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and His Righteousness. And I'd sit there and it's like, wow, these songs have a message to them. I didn't realize songs have messages to them. I'm just exposing my ignorance. And so when I was newly saved, on the job, I was doing HVAC, heating and air conditioning, working with this well-seasoned, if you will, Christian man. And I would be singing these songs just as I'm working. You know, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory. You know, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. And I wasn't shouting it out and just, you know, kind of like singing along as I was working and just enjoying the presence of God. I don't know if conviction was setting in or what was going on. Finally, the man turned to me and he said, you know, these songs are just kind of new to you, aren't they? I said, Yeah, they are. I said, they just minister to my spirit, like Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Yes. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. Yes. It's like it ministers to my spirit here. And then here's what he told me. Now, here he was, a well-seasoned Christian, and I was a new believer. Here's what he told me. You know, those songs used to minister to me too, but they're just kind of old. They just don't minister to me like they used to. That was his words to me. Now, I realize new songs have a way of ministering. I understand all that. But my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness does not get old. Are you all breathing out there? I mean, seriously. My hope, where's my hope built? Does it excite us? Is it fresh? Is it strong? How is it? Does it excite me when I sing a song like, Blessed Assurance, I have the assurance that Jesus is in my heart. Do you? Do you? Do you? Do you? Yes. Is it fresh? Is it strong? Now, I don't have a wrong attitude toward this man. It was just what I experienced. I wondered, how many does that represent in a church where we sit here Sunday after Sunday, and even we grow old, and the Christian life just gets older and older? No, it ought to get fresher and fresher. Yeah, that's why we need revival. Be made fresh and strong again. How is it in my heart this morning? Is it fresh? Is it strong? How is it? Revival is not for the unsaved. The reason we need revival, there's a lack of spiritual life and victory among God's people. There are divisions, there's anger, there's lovelessness, there's perversions, there's child abuse, there's abortions, there's marriages that are failing, families in conflict with one another. And we could go on and on and on, but I don't want to dwell there long. I know we need to move on. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament chapter 7. We want to look at on the theme of hosting the presence of God and how that will bring revival. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Verse 1. This is often we go to verse 14, but I want to go to verse 1. This is after Solomon had made an end of praying. Now when Solomon made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering, the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. The priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. I'm so challenged with this. What happened when Solomon made an end of praying? Fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering, or the wood, hay, and stubble, if you will, and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. You know, I long to see that again today. I long to see that. the presence of God, the glory of God being revealed in his house. So much so that the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon, look at the result of that. They worshiped. They had their faces to the ground. They were in worship before Almighty God because the glory of the Lord had filled the house. In the presence of the Lord, the idols of Egypt are removed. Remember that this morning. I remember about a year, 1993, about 2 years, a little over 2 years after Ruth Ann and I were saved. We were in our first year of marriage. There were tent meetings in our community. We were still living in Holmes County, Ohio at the time. There were tent meetings in our community, and I remember our church at that point was small, maybe about half the size of this. Not much happening. Just, and when I say not much happening, I mean it was just, you know, kind of a routine, and we were just new there. And in fact, the blessing, we were recipients of, you know, when my girlfriend and I was actually in that church foyer where the pastor first asked me, did you ever make a commitment to the Lord? That was what God used to then later that week get me to respond to the call of Christ and give my life to Christ. But it was in that church, it was a small church, and so they were rallying behind us and beside us and discipling us. And so here was this tent meeting going on, and man, we were there, I think if not every night, most every night for several weeks, and it was just, God was just moving. Well, the presence of the Lord for 3 Sundays in a row, during and after the tent meetings. Church was happening till 2 and 3 o'clock in the afternoon with no message, per se. I was going to say no preaching, but there was a lot of preaching going on, just not like this. People were getting honest with God. People would come up front and would share, would open their heart, would expose sins, adultery, things that maybe weren't currently going on, but things they had covered up all their life. People were getting set free Sunday after Sunday. And nobody went to them and pointed it out. It was because there was such an atmosphere cultivated. And the presence of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, was doing his ministry and doing his work. In fact, so much so that right at that time, I will never forget this scene as long as I live. This was 1993, so however many years ago that was. I will never forget this scene. I was during the one of those Sundays. I was up front. I don't remember what all was going on, but I remember I was up on the stage, and I turned around, and I saw something right down 3/4 of the way back in the center aisle. There were 2 families that had started attending this church from another church, and these 2 brothers were at odds with each other when they came. They were both from the same church down the road. I don't know what the thought was. Maybe we can go over here and get along with each other, but they couldn't. I don't know what the thought was. But it took the presence of God and the power of the Holy Spirit to mend that relationship. I turned around and I looked back, and I wasn't looking for anything. It was just right in front of me. These 2 brothers, right 3/4 of the way back in the center aisle, were embracing one another. That was before I knew about Isaiah 19, verse 1. In the presence of the Lord, the idols of Egypt are removed. Relationships are restored. Hurt feelings between people are taken care of. But it takes us to just come in the spirit of humility and say, God, I can't do this. You know, a lot of us try to figure out life and figure out church when God is just saying, just come to me. God, would you break my heart? Would you show me how it should be? In the presence of the Lord, the idols of Egypt are removed. I remember after a series of meetings at a church some years ago, the closing night, we were up front after the invitation and started celebrating and singing, and It was just a wonderful time in closing. And I had noticed at the invitation, when I had people stand to go into the altar call, I saw two young ladies that were sitting about back in there, and they got up and walked out. I didn't think much of it. Gave the invitation, ministry time was happening, and was just ready to close the service. And here they come from the foyer, these two young ladies, and they came and walked right up front. And one of the ladies was from town. The other lady was from this church who had brought her. I didn't know anything. So they come up on the stage, and the girl from church asks, could she share a testimony? I said, sure. Gave her the microphone, and here this lady from town begins to share with the congregation that she just gave her life to Christ out in the foyer. Then I understood why. You know, she was under conviction. When we had people stand, she walked out. She didn't know what to do with it. And so the lady from church was sensitive to that and went out with her. It's what I call foyer evangelism. She gives her life to Christ. I'm saying all that to say, that night I did not preach on salvation. It wasn't about how to get saved. It wasn't that. It was because she sends the Spirit of God moving. That's what drew her. And then a few moments later, in this same time, all of a sudden, I was just about ready to close, and I looked over, and it was quite a ways further than this corner. But way over there, I saw a whole group of young people that were in a circle. There was probably 10 or 12 of them. I had no idea what was going on, no idea. And I looked over there, and one of them caught my eye, and then they motioned me to come. So I walk over here to this 10 or 12 people, of young people all in a circle. What I couldn't see from where I was is on the floor, face down on the floor. Remember, we just read that the glory of the Lord had filled the house, and the people were on their faces, worshiped, praised the Lord, saying, He is good. What I didn't know is on the floor was a young man who I later found out was bitter, angry, bitter at God, bitter at life. He had lost his sister in a tragic car accident. Was bitter at life, bitter at God, bitter at himself, just bitter, angry man. And that night in the presence of the Lord, I didn't preach on bitterness. I didn't preach on losing loved ones. Wasn't any of that. It was in the presence of the Lord. On the floor was this young man repenting and getting right with God. In the presence of the Lord, the idols of Egypt are removed. Not long ago in a prison in South Carolina, you know, in the privilege periodically to get into a women's prison, and there it's very common for ladies just to be crying throughout the whole service, and tears. In fact, we had one service where there was organized tissue passing. I remember seeing the ushers, lady ushers in the back. They were all standing, well, it was actually rolls of toilet paper, if I'm just say it how it was. And they were all standing there when the service began. And I was like, well, that's interesting. I wonder what that's all about. Well, and about the moment when, and this was when our youngest, who's now 14, it could have been 5-6 years ago. I lose track of time. But anything she did, you know, at that stage, just, you know, they just start. Well, these ushers would sense what was going on. And so there were tears. And so they'd come down the aisle and pass out tissue paper for the tears. So it's common to see it in a women's prison. When I see men, macho, all tattooed up, big, look big physically. When I see in the presence of the Lord and the Spirit of God breaking that heart, I can't help but just cry with him. I remember this one particular inmate, and I've seen it numerous times, but this one stood out. where an inmate was right up, right here, like from me, right there. And this was a room that the chapel was probably about this size, a little bit different in formation, but it was about this size, big chapel. God had so touched that man that day. You heard him weep throughout the whole chapel. I mean, the man was so broken. I remember one of the prayer partners, volunteers that were coming. I saw him walking up toward the man. He was weeping. I saw him walking up, and I was watching, and I almost went to the man that was walking up and stopped him because I said, this man needs to just be left alone right now. Because God was dealing with his heart. God was touching him. But before I could get to the prayer partner, the Spirit, he sends the same thing, and he stops. And I could tell he was just praying for him. I didn't have to tell him anything. See, when the Spirit of God is at work, people are in tune with the Spirit of God. That's when revival breaks out. You know, you all expect me to come, Spirit-filled, prayed up, hearing from God. You know, I expect the same of all of us. As much as you expect Spirit-filled preaching, I expect Spirit-filled listening. And when you bring that together and you release and cultivate an atmosphere of the presence of God, you look out what can happen. You look out what can happen. Because I want God to be in charge. I'm not interested in some emotional big display here. I'm interested. I have been praying. I woke up this morning just praying, Jesus. It was the first thought on my mind. Jesus, would you just, I don't know, the word bomb. Just bomb this place with the Holy Spirit. With your presence, where we just become broken in his sight. We want to host that. We want to host that. Just in February, at a prison, and I know I need to draw to a close, and I will in just a moment. But just this past February, at a prison in South Carolina, where this was a prison where there was a lot of young inmates, younger, and the children were up front playing stuff as they were coming in. And we had a prayer meeting before the inmates ever came in. And including in this circle was about 7 or 8 prayer partners and our family and about 2 or 3 inmates. We were in a circle praying. And when I heard those inmates pray, I thought, look out tonight. Something special is going to happen. I didn't know what. I just sensed in my spirit something special is going to happen. Inmates started to come. The children were up front playing, and I noticed in the audience, these young inmates, they were snickering. They were looking at each other and then looking up on the stage and then laughing, and you could kind of tell like they were not there to host the presence of God. I could tell. I said, Lord, what do we do with this? How do you want to reach these people? I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. In your presence, the idols of Egypt are removed. So, Lord, have your way. And I was back at the soundboard. The first song, the very first song children sang. And I hope we're okay with this. I'm just going to say, I mean, I just sense the manifest presence of God coming into that place. And I began to weep. I just began to weep. The children sang and did things for about 1 hour. Their final song was walking up that aisle to preach. Totally broken. Totally broken. I get to the podium and I look out. And this was divided in 2 sections, not 4, 2. I look out this whole side, and there could have been maybe 80 or so in this side, 60 or 80, and about that many on this side. This whole side, those young inmates were sitting there with their face in their hands. I looked over here, half of this side was sitting there, their face in their hands. They didn't know what to do with the presence of God. And I began to pray. I said, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? Because I knew if I would start preaching, it would disrupt that. We started, I just went into an invitation. I said, guys, here's what I sense is going on. And I just invited those who want to surrender their life to Christ, just come. Didn't preach. For the next, I don't know, 30 minutes, the rest of our time for the most part, there was all over the front young inmates surrendering their life to Christ. Brokenness, tears, being set free, hosting the presence of God. You talk about revival breaking out in a prison. And I don't believe it's any different right here. I know I was going to go through some other things, but I'll leave that. I want to go to John 7:37 and we'll close and give the invitation this morning. John 7:37. We know these scriptures very well, but I want to just read them to us here this morning. John 7:37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried, saying, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Other translations would maybe say life-giving water. I want to take us back to verse 37 and the words of Jesus. If any man's thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Are you thirsting this morning for the things of God? He that believeth on me, do you believe in him this morning? As the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You see this? If I would ask you to raise your hand, do you believe on him? I would hope every hand is up. If not, this morning could be your morning. According to this, if you believe in him, out of you, out of me, shall flow rivers of living, life-giving water. So how is the presence of God released and cultivated in a place? It comes from believers. It comes through us. Because if we believe in him, out of us shall flow that river of living water. So the invitation this morning is this. If you believe in him, you're thirsty. You're not satisfied where you're at in your spiritual life. And if you are, hallelujah, hallelujah. Keep walking, keep going. You're thirsting, you're hungering, you're believing in him. The invitation is not specific this morning, very general. I'm going to invite us to come and to release. Out of us will flow rivers of living water. The very life of Christ, to release that into the spirit world. You know, we can't see in the spirit world. Sometimes I wish I could, but God didn't design it that way, so I'm okay if I can't. You can sense what is going on in the spirit world. So as we believe on him, out of us will flow these rivers of living water. The invitation this morning is, I want to just come, and I'm the first one on my knees. Lord, I want to release in the spirit world. I want to create an atmosphere. I want to, Lord, just my life in such a way where I release your presence, because your presence is in me. I want to release that living water in this place this morning. That's the invitation. I'm on my knees because I want the very presence of God, and nothing, if that isn't happening, we might as well not go through Wednesday night. That's my heart. I want so the Spirit of God and the presence of God to be in this place where no man receives glory, no family receives credit, no church receives credit, but all glory goes to him because he is the one. He is the one we are to exalt and to lift up, to glorify and to magnify. So can we stand together this morning? We're just going to play a song this morning as we pray. If in your heart you believe on Him and you really want revival to come, you really want revival to happen, do you come and release His presence in this place? Because out of us shall flow rivers of living water. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to your throne of grace. We just ask you, Father, right now, would you, Lord, right now just minister deeply to our hearts. Lord, I'm on my knees. You know my heart. I've asked for this before this morning. But Lord, just in your presence right now, Lord, I want to so welcome you in this place, Father. I know you're here, but Lord, I desire that happens in 2 Chronicles 7. What happened there would happen here. Lord, when we would find ourselves in your presence, and Lord, if there's any bondages, any thing that needs to go in your presence, the idols of Egypt are removed. But maybe someone had just come, and Lord, they're in right standing with you and want to release in this place your presence, rivers of life giving water to others who are maybe not in right standing with you, because we want to see revival happen. If that's you this morning, would you just come right here and just kneel at the altar? Can you come this morning? Only if the Holy Spirit is drawing you. Thank you, Jesus. Draw us, oh God, this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Oh God, draw us to yourself, Father. Oh Jesus, I just long to see your glory in this place, Father. To see your Spirit moving, oh God. Yes, Lord Jesus. Oh, you're everything to us, Lord. Break our hearts, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, Father, break our hearts with what breaks your heart, Lord. We release your presence in this place, Father. Just mind the Holy Spirit, enjoy his presence. Yes, Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, you are all to us, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Lord, we release in this place. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus, we just come to your throne of grace, oh God, right now, Father. And we ask, oh God, would the gentleness of your Spirit just continue to just sweep through this place. Touch our hearts with what touches your heart. Lord, that you would keep us broken, you would keep us humble. Keep us in your presence. Keep revival happening. And Lord, break our hearts with what breaks your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. I would like to, as we draw to a close this morning, brother, sister, your heart is pure, your hands are clean. And I just invite you to come, just stand behind these who are praying this morning. Can you do that this morning? Don't need to ask them why they're coming. The invitation was very specific, very general. But just come. Maybe you have even a partner here or somebody from just a brother, sister, and just stand behind him and pray. Can you do that this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we desire. Oh, God, we desire your heart, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, we enjoy your presence here this morning. Yes, Lord. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that, Lord, you would release in this place, you would release in this place the life-giving water, the flow of the Holy Spirit in this place, Father, where we don't have to question whether it's you or not. Lord, I pray that you would bring such clarity, Lord, to us here that, Lord, we know it's of you, God, and that you would very clearly and specifically speak to our hearts. And, Lord, we want to honor and we want to do a good job in hosting your presence just like people host us. Lord, we want to create an atmosphere that, Lord, that you want to be so welcome, that you want to be so present, oh God. Lord, you just can't stay away because we want your spirit to move. Because aside from that, we're only going through the motions. So we ask you, Jesus, would you glorify yourself throughout these meetings? Touch our hearts as we continue to pray and release your presence into the atmosphere, into this place. Thank you. In the precious name of Jesus, we do pray. Everyone said amen. Amen. Those who are praying, just stay, pray as long as you need to. If you're finished, just stand to your feet, but remain up here if you would. Let's just sing that together. Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing. Let's sing it together, shall we? Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing into thy holy, thirsting for more and yes, Lord, yearning thy love more fully to know. Open the wells of oh, yes, Lord, pour the rich streams deep into my heart. Cleanse and refine my action. Seal me and make me pure as thou art. Before we sing another verse, you have somebody at the altar you want to come and just put your arm around them. We need each other, do we not? You come and you do that. Dead to the world. Dead to the world would I be, O Father, dead unto sin. Oh, but alive unto him. Crucified.
Crucified all the earthly within me.
Emptied of sin.
Emptied of sin.
Oh, yes. Open the wells, Lord. Open the wells. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Again, a reminder, everyone is welcome to stay for lunch right across the way. Was asked to announce that and have prayer for the food in here. I would love to just keep eating here. But our physical bodies do get weak. We need to eat. But God bless you for coming. We welcome you back tonight at 7. I was going to say 7:30, but how about 7:25? 7:25, service beginning at 7:30 tonight. We welcome you all back here this evening. Shall we pray? Father, we are so grateful for the physical food that you have provided for us. I pray a blessing upon all those who have worked so diligently, not only this morning, but even yesterday, in preparing food and things to eat, and then those who were working over there this morning and preparing everything, organizing everything, setting everything up. In Jesus' name, would you bless them? Would you restore all the energy that it took for them to prepare this? And Lord, remind them that it's as unto you, Jesus, and not as unto man. And Lord, as we partake of it, would we do it? Would we accept it as a gift from you? So many are going hungry today, and we say thank you for providing an abundance of food. We bless you, and we thank you for honoring us here this morning with your presence. And we give you glory and praise, and bring us back together again tonight in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Amen. Now, you are dismissed. Turn to the person beside you and tell them, I'm so glad I was here this morning. Can you do that? You are dismissed.